Good morning. This is the Lord speaking. It sounds quite dramatic today. I like that. Keep that sound. I pray God does speak through His Word. Welcome. Glad you're here today. We have prayed, we've sung, and I'm going to speak from the Word of God. As PJ was kind of alluding to, we're starting a series on joy and doing our best to stir up the gifts that are in us. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so it's not something we try to just necessarily work up, but we do receive that amazing gift of God of joy in our lives through Christ, through knowing Him and walking with Him. And so the question came, and it's been asked a few times, and I've spoken about it a few times, so if I repeat some things, it's okay. Peter in the Bible says, to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So if Peter can do it, so can I. But the question was, why is our church called Enjoy Life Church? I remember 13, 14 years ago when we came, we were at a ministerial, and they're going around the circle. We're all standing in the circle, and they're just introducing leaders and churches and their names. And I think you're with me, Russell, but it was like this one and Tabernacle of Truth and Harvest Internet, whatever. And it came around, and it said Enjoy Life Church, and a few people started to laugh. And I thought, it's better than Martyrdom Rocks, right? It's like we came here because we felt, I could tell you a long story about how the name came about and why, but I just remember, and like over these last 14 years, there's Explore Life, there's Life. All these guys are copying our name, just so you know. But it comes from, together in our office back in Pretoria, different ones sitting together, talking about what do you call a church? What does Canada need? And one of the comments was, the church in Canada is not having a lot of fun. And so, long story short, we got the name. And we joked many times and we said, if we're not enjoying life, then we have to leave the church or we have to change the name of the church. So, I'm trying to decide which. No, it's the joy. You talk about enjoying life. What does that mean? So, I was wrestling with where to go. So I decided to go for the big picture. So I'm going to back way out. And what I would like you to do, Chris, is just put up each slide for about 7 seconds. I don't know, just something that's appropriate. Put the next one up. Just stir your mind about the creation of God. Take your time. Don't be in a rush. Those are two galaxies that have collided. Thought they looked pretty cool. Some kind of nebulous star formation thing in space. I was trying to get the it should be as big as this wall, then you could really enjoy it. Then we come in a little closer to home. Deep thoughts, just keep thinking deep thoughts. It's getting awkward, keep going. Okay, just stay here for a second. Try to explain any of the above slides outside of a creator with a plan and a purpose. That's what, I was sitting there thinking, what do we talk about when we talk about church and enjoying life and the purpose and the plans and the big things of God? And sitting in my powerful office at home, I just thought, I need a bigger view of the world and we need to step back. And I love, I don't know if you get them, but NASA has been sending out these regular new photos with their new James Webb telescope setup, whatever it is. But the pictures just get more amazing and more amazing and more amazing of space and the size and the creation of God and all of those things to the point where, how do you explain any of these things right down to the 100 billion cells that are popping? I think there's about 50 still popping inside my brain. But for us to be alive and to think and worship and live and be here today, Outside of God, I don't know how you explain it. I said it somewhere in the last while, these atheist-type statements that come out, you either believe God created everything or everything that is came from nothing. And basically the definition of nothing is nothing. So how does nothing create everything? And so for me, the only answer I can come to is the God who's described to me in the Word of God, who created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's what gives purpose to my life and to everything. So I thought we should start there. You can go to the next slide. That one you can read quickly. Just put up the last one. This one I liked. It just kind of filled my screen. And that's why I wished we had a screen as big as this wall. Like, how do you explain a God who created and who sent his amazing Son and who loves us and redeems us and has this plan of eternity? And so that's what the church is about. That's why we are called Enjoy Life. Should we go home now? Is that okay? We're done. But I got a couple of statements and I'll read them. But we should have a lot more joy and fun if we understood God's plan and God's purpose. I like these statements, but when you've understood the gospel completely, it's when it's too good to be true. When the story is really too good to be true, you're starting to get it, that this gospel is good news. And it's good news, even after you join a church. But we've made the business of the gospel pretty serious. And it is serious business because we're talking about eternity, heaven and hell. But we often make it serious for our wrong reasons because that's just who we are. And we're quite serious people. There's quite serious things going on in the world and the lives around us. But here's another statement. Knowing truth without the kingdom principles of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, it's a heavy work to carry. You know, to live the Christian life, to know the truth without the power of the Spirit, without the kingdom of God coming into us, righteousness, peace, and joy, which comes from God, it can become quite burdensome. It can become quite heavy where we kind of lay stuff on each other. And there is a Christian life to live, and there is a life to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That is true. It never changes. But it has to come from an inside-out perspective, where God changes us on the inside, where we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and work in us and change us, and then we trust and obey. And we are doing the Purple Book in Life Group, and we are learning the basics of Christianity again. What we were laughing about this week is, you know, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother and all these, you're a liar. You're a liar. There's about 10 verses. I thought maybe I should speak on you're a liar this morning and just encourage you guys. They don't mince the words, you know. It's like, you're a liar. Jesus says, you know, if you have me, you have life. If you don't have me, you don't have life. I could just go through scripture after scripture that we need the power of God. We need the life of the Spirit in us in order to live out our Christian life. So, what would I do differently? A while back, I was speaking to a group of missionaries, and you know, the missionaries need a lot of help. Right, Brian? Jeanette. But the question I was asking is, what would I do different looking back? And I could wax eloquently in all the amazing truths that I've learned and shared in my life. But what would I do differently? So I kept a few of them and I expanded a few of them, and I'll see where we go this morning. But what would I do different looking back and serving God? Lori's giving me a hard time because this year is 74 to 2024. 50 years? Is it? Wow. Okay. Okay, 50 years ago. Wow. What would I do different? I'd do a lot of things different. Now that you ask, let's get honest here this morning. But I'm going to stay true to my message. First of all, what I have here is I would enjoy God more. I'd enjoy God. And I love that saying, when God is most glorified, when I am most satisfied in Him, in the end, everything, including the devil himself, will glorify God. We are created for His praise and worship, for His plan and His purpose, to glorify Him. And I've shared this before, but you got people like Oprah and Brad Pitt and different ones saying, I wouldn't serve a God that's so needy that He demands worship. But what they don't get is God created us because He knows what's best for us. And the very best for us is that we serve Him and love Him and worship Him and live out the plans and purposes of God for our life. And when we are most satisfied in God, He is most glorified because we're living the purposes and the big things of God. And I was listening to a little podcast thing from a friend who's from South Africa, and she put it up, and I should have given her credit, the lady who was speaking, but she's talking about some of the basic comments that people make, you know, that we can do whatever we want, and we're great, and we're, you know, this whole picture of, but everything was built around self, what I can do, what I, you know, my needs, and that's such a lie is what she was saying. It's a lie. It's not. When we turn to ourself, we lose joy, we lose passion, we lose, because self is just self, and it never ends, and it's never satisfied, and it's never happy. But when we look to God, and we look to serving Him, and worshiping Him, and living for Him, then there's purpose, and then there's real joy, and then there's something to get up in the morning for, and live out our life, and, you know, with the struggle, with the fight, with the challenges, you say, okay, God, I'm gonna commit my way to You, and I'm gonna serve You. I like Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, in Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And the thing about serving God and living for Him is that you can never hit the end. You can never wear it out. You can never run dry, all the things. And so the challenge is, what we've been singing, what we've been praying this morning, is that we would receive that joy and that passion and purpose from Christ Himself, and not feed at all the cisterns that are empty and that suck the life out of us, but come to those wells of salvation. Come back to the place where we can draw water from our beautiful salvation, as someone prayed in the prayer meeting this morning. Just keep receiving purpose and life and joy and in the Holy Spirit and walking that out. Because man, there's enough problems right here in this room. Sickness, financial, personal, just to suck the oxygen right out of here. But what I thank God for is that He is amazing, and He can minister to every situation there is. And He can bring hope, and He can bring life. And, you know, I don't want to go down there again, but if I couldn't look you in the face and tell you that God cares and God has an answer to everyone in this room, I would quit preaching. I'd quit the ministry. But that's our hope. We have nowhere else to go but to Jesus. So, why enjoy life? Here's how it started. Back in the day, and I've shared this before, so forgive me for sharing it again, but if you look at the Bible and divide it into the, you know, the four chapters, the meta-narrative, the big story, the history of God, it's His story. You know, take out a few chapters at the beginning, a few chapters at the end of the Bible, where the language is like, whoo, it's pretty poetic, it's pretty wild. It's like, He doesn't even give details, just that God created, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. Get ready. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be amazing. But everything in between in the Bible is the history of mankind, of God's working with us from creation till the end. And as some wise people have done, they talk about the four chapters. You've got creation. Help me here. It's my story, but creation, redemption, mission, consummation. Okay, we got them. I knew you remembered from when I preached it last time. So I can't even remember it. I just wrote it down. But I'm talking about the big pictures here. So creation, God created everything. Amen? Most of my life I spent on redemption, the story of salvation, which is amazing, which is the Bible. But then there's the mission of us telling the world and going to the ends of the earth. And then there's Jesus coming back, right? The consummation. And for most of my life, it's been about the mission. It's been about redemption. It's been about Jesus saves and Jesus sending us and the living the purpose of our life, what I'm talking about this morning. And then he's coming back, and that makes sense of it all. Okay? So just keep that picture in mind. But now I want to come back to the creation part. This is the part where guys like myself have a very hard time to spend a lot of time. It's way better to talk about the mission. It's way better to talk about the purposes of God. But if you don't have the creation part, if you don't see that God has created everything, like those pictures of space, that's what I was trying to get my brain around. Like, why do you think God created that? Was that for our glory? Was that to make us feel significant? You know, if you look at some of those pictures where Earth is just a speck of dust in, you know, the Voyager. Am I talking to people who are scientific here this morning? You know, they send out that little Voyager spaceship, and then somewhere it's so many billion miles away, it turned around and it took its last picture, and it caught the Earth like a speck of dust in the sunlight. Have you seen those pictures? But that's, you know, so when you look at what God's created, what was the purpose of it all? It was for His glory and to show His amazing grace and power and goodness. And then He comes down to this final picture of His Son coming to redeem us and deliver us and bless us and to give us a life. It starts with His amazing Creator God. So what do we say about that? There's a whole pack of life that we got to live. Enjoying life, enjoying relationships, enjoying worship, enjoying God, enjoying one another, enjoying community, enjoying coming together to sing and eat and party and live our lives and raise our kids and have families and to live. And if we don't see that, then we've lost. What's the purpose of all this? It's to come together, to encourage each other. It's what we prayed about in this morning, that we come and we stir each other up in the gifts. We stir each other up in our lives. We encourage each other. Keep going. Yeah, there's tough times, but keep walking. Keep living out the Christian life. And we need to be able to encourage one another. So what would I'm going to get stuck on this one. I would enjoy God more. And I got written here, we did enjoy, but we should have enjoyed Him more. We get to do amazing things when you serve God. He gives you a life. And I could tell you stories about my life, and I trust that you have your testimonies and your own life of the amazing things that God has done for you. What attracted me to Christ was the promise of life, abundant life. Not just a long life, but an abundant life. And we need to live lives that are attractive to people. The world doesn't hate Jesus. Amen? Haven't met Him yet. The world basically hates our churchianity. It hates kind of what we present of Jesus. And that's why so many times you say, oh God, just help me not to blow it. Help me not to misrepresent you to a world that's already antagonistic and needs God and needs His love. If they could just meet Jesus. And He's trying to introduce Himself through me, and I'm like, oh man, how many times have I blown this when God should be glorified and I should be enjoying Him more and I should be living this life that's attractive and appealing and full of joy and full of life. And I'm not. I'm saying, God, work in my heart. You know, what I have here is live life through and in a local church. Not just meetings, but doing life together. It's a community. That's why we're called Enjoy Life. We're a family. It's supposed to be friendship before function. It's not an add-on thing to your life. And don't, you know, as I've said many times, don't build a church that you don't want to be part of. Let's build a church that we want to be in. And the challenge is, the enemy's against that, our flesh is against that, the world is against that. But God wants to build a community, a family, a body, a bride, all the terms that the Bible uses that's attractive to the world, to show people that there is a different way of living your life. Sin is boring. You all know that. You've seen one drunk. You've seen them all. Here's a good point. Don't just have a great theology. God wants us to live our life through and in a healthy community of people, our homes, and with people that He puts in contact. So I would enjoy God more. Amen? Number two, I take myself less seriously. Not the ministry, but myself. Keeps me free. I'm going to just stick with my notes. I'm a freak. You caught me out, but it's okay. God loves me, and He loves you. And so, you know, the problem with self, and I could spend more time there, but, you know, a narcissistic person that we all are inside is that when we're talking about our good things, we're still talking about ourselves. And then we talk about our terrible things, we're still talking about ourselves. It's like we got to get away from walk. The Bible says to walk in the truth, to walk humbly. It's to be honest. It's to walk in the truth. When you walk in the truth, you're walking in freedom because you're not playing games. You're not hiding. You're not lifting yourself up or putting yourself down. You just, you know, walk in truth. Be free. Be who you are in Christ. And as God works in us, He's changing us day by day by day. You know, sometimes, and I've got these examples here again. You know, we get pretty, take ourselves too seriously. I'm still on that theme. But, you know, why did God send Lori and I to Africa in 1981? You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, what we think was the purpose and what God thinks. And Lori shared it here before. Maybe those 30 years in Africa was to adopt Matthew. So we would adopt our son. We would find a son in a orphanage in Africa. Maybe that's what God was working on our stony old heart for. You know, I want to tell you amazing stories of whatever. You know, and I've shared this before, but not long ago, we get this email. You know, Facebook is a dangerous thing because people connect from all over the world, can be in the bushes of nowhere. So young, not young anymore, we're all old. He was young when I knew him. He from Ngara, Tanzania, and he's writing, man of God, Leonard Ratani, you know, wonderful. And what he's thanking me for, us for, was showing the Moses film in the bush by Ngara. And when I say in the bush, you believe me, especially 40 years ago. And we set up the Moses film. And it was so beautiful. You should have been there. So we got this old generator grinding away, barely, just grinding, like seriously. And on the back of my station wagon Land Cruiser, you open the gate and we put the projector there. You know, and we got a film about Moses. And I think the real Moses was in it, because that's how old it was. And it's black and white. And it's... And then these big flying ant things, because that was the season, they come out of the ground once a year, they start coming to the light of the projector. And they're sticking on us, and they're getting into the machine. And then, because it's quite low, and we have this, our screen is just a sheet hanging there, so you could see it from both sides, so people are on that side and people are on this side. But because it's getting more and more and more people, the crowd starts to squeeze in, and then the projector can't shine on the screen anymore. So we're like, move back! You know, we're trying to make some room. If you don't move, we're just going to pack up and go home. And some drunk, well, then just go home! Who cares? And I'm like, no, I just drove for 7 hours. I'm not leaving, so forget that. But just watch the precious film of Moses. What they got about Moses, I have no clue. It's so fake, the big plastic rock, and it's all black and white, and it's like, and it's in English, and they don't have a clue what's happening. Anyhow, 50 years later, I get a text from Ngara. Thank you, brother, man of God, Ratan. You came to my village, and you brought the film, and it changed my life. And I'm like, oh, Lord, the one thing. I thought it was my powerful preaching. It was the film of Moses. I could tell you too many stories. What is the purposes of God in our lives? 40 years from now, think about it. 40 years from now, what happened this Sunday morning that really mattered? I don't know. Whoever's still alive in 40 years, you tell us. But the plans of God are so amazing and so beyond our plan that he's working in lives and putting things together. Maybe someone's going to fall in love with someone in this audience, and maybe there's going to be a future. Maybe there's a Billy Graham sitting here. I don't know, but God knows. Maybe my little film is going to change your life. See that picture? You're going to write me one day, you know, brother, man of God, when you showed that picture of Jesus on the water, oh, it changed my life. I don't know. But all I do know is that God is working, and I need to take myself less seriously, because I can get so stressed out, or I can get so proud and so filled up that what I'm doing is amazing, and it doesn't matter. What matters is what God is doing in our life and through our life. Amen? So what is the things that you're doing, mothers, with your children at home, or fathers, that seems so, I don't know, tiring, and so every day, and you're just wondering? I'm telling you, don't know. You don't know what God is doing and using to change a life and to change a home and to change a circumstance. So just be faithful to him. So number three, enjoy relationships more. I could talk on this one all morning. I'm just wrestling in my guts what to stay with. But enjoy relationships. If I look back on 50 years, the thing that mattered was people. And I've preached this all my life. When we get to heaven, the only thing you get to take with you is people. If God blesses you, you can snatch some from the fire, as he says, and it's people, it's the children, it's the families, it's the lives. That's what we get to take to heaven. Those are the things that matter. Are you enjoying your relationships? Are you putting the effort in? Are you making them count? Are you stressed out of your mind? Are you full of fear of finance? Are you battling six jobs? I don't know where you're at, but God help us to enjoy God, to enjoy what he's doing, and to enjoy one another. To actually take time to connect with one another. Enjoy Life Church. Why do you think we called it that? The point of it is to live your life through and in and of a local church, to serve God together, to come together and encourage one another and to stand with one another. And yeah, it gets messy and it gets tough, and it's like, people, you got to deal with me and I got to deal with you. But this is what God is working on in our lives, to bring us to a place of maturity, bring us to a place where he can work his plans and purposes in us. And it's tough sometimes, and it's work sometimes, and it takes forgiveness, and it takes grace, and it takes the power of God. You know, these pictures, I didn't do it, so don't judge me. I was going to have one more picture on there about things that are just too hard to explain. And it was going to be my wife. No. Oh! But I left this on there. Praise the Lord. Trust me, relationships without Jesus, you can't do it. That's the challenge of the world that we live in. Everybody knows it. You can do your best. You can try. We can work at it. But to actually come to a place where we can live in a relationship with wives, husbands, family, children, church, the neighborhood, the people, it takes the grace of God working in us, changing us day by day, working it out. I would enjoy every season. When I look back, and sorry for using 50-year-old examples, I look back at Bukoba. We had the blessing, Lori and I, a couple of years ago, those of you who are around, we got to spend 5 months back in Tanzania and lead the Petra City Church for a time. And that whole story of filling in for Julius after his wife passed away. So we're back in Mwanza, in the same house that Nicole was born in, and Kyle, and they were babies, and living this, and just to see the fruit of what God's done in the country itself, just the country and the church and the ministry. But in that time, we got to fly up to the city of Bukoba, where we lived for a time. And we're walking along the shores of Lake Victoria. And Lori and I have pictures. I should have put up more pictures. Pictures are beautiful things. But we're on the shore, right in the very house that we lived in 1981 or whatever year it was, and we're walking around, and it gets you again. I wished I knew then what I knew now. The 4 years that we lived there, we should have enjoyed it more. We should have just been thanking God for that season of our life that we had, and we did. We learned to live there and to enjoy it. It was a tough season in the climate, in the economy and the whole country and the civil war with Idi Amin, not in Tanzania, but with Idi Amin in Uganda, and the whole challenges of the economy and the whole battle that was going on. There was real stuff going on. But walking around there, we're like, this is the Garden of Eden. We're living on the second largest lake in the world, fresh water. It's beautiful. Lori and I used to go for walks along the beach. We did taste things. We did enjoy seasons at times. But looking back, we're like, man, we should have been living life here. And I can remember we came out of language school, and I don't recommend Makoko Center in Musoma for 6 months language school back in 1981. All the malaria and all the pesticides and herbicides and parasites that I had to deal with in my life. But we came out of language school and we moved to Bukoba, and we're so happy because we had our own house, and Lori could cook, and we could cook and get our own food. We didn't have to eat the rubbish that the language school gave us and whatever. But I remember you have this mentality of survival, and there's war, and it's, you know, soldiers everywhere, and the on the roads that have all these guards and all these things. Sorry for going back down memory lane, but there's a point to what I'm saying, is that, I don't know, we were in Bukoba for a few months. We loved the fact that we had our own house. We were actually living like humans, it felt like. And then our neighbors, who were Baptist missionaries up the hill from us, invited us for a barbecue. And first of all, we're like, I mean, you can have a barbecue? It's like, it's so hard to explain this to Canadians in 2024. But it's like, you get in the survival mode, and there's trying to find some tomatoes and a few potatoes and a few things to survive, and your neighbor invites you for a barbecue. And we're like, we can have a barbecue? That's pretty cool. And the meat was, you know, topi and eland and the meats that we hunted then. That's the best meat you would get. And we're sitting there, and the moon's coming up over Lake Victoria, and their house was sort of this, it's a real shack now when we were there, but it's like, and it's like, we can live! We can actually live! We can have water! We have a bathroom! We can have a barbecue! We can live! And so what's my point? My point is, what are you missing right now? What's just passing you by because you're stressed out or you're angry or you're unforgiving or you're battling with something or finances. What are you missing right now? Your children at a certain age. What? I want to tell you, you can have a barbecue. You can walk along the shores of the lake. I'm 65 still. I'm living. God has been faithful for 50 years. What would I do differently? I would enjoy people. I would enjoy God. I would enjoy the church. I would enjoy my family. I would enjoy the relationships that I have. I would enjoy my life. I'd enjoy the seasons that I'm in. So I'm challenging you, do that right now. What is it that's holding you back? What's robbing your joy? What's causing you not to enjoy life? Whenever I say that name, I will close with this. Whenever I say that name, Enjoy Life, I traveled with a good news band for 9 years. We had a band. One of the young men in that band, he's pastoring a church in Arusha. Actually, you know, the name of his church is Enjoy Life Church International, Arusha. His name was Wasforn. Amazing. My dream would be to bring that band here to Canada one more time, but God only knows. But he was one of our band, young guy. They're all single, all came from very rural background. Tanzania was very poor that time of the world, time of our life. And so these guys came from all over Tanzania. God brought them through Bible school, through different connections, and we traveled together for 9 years. But Wasforn, he was famous for the line because when we get to a city, these guys had never been to the Serengeti, they'd never been in a hotel, they'd never been a lot of places we just take for granted now. But back then, these guys they had no money, they didn't know any of this stuff. So we're in Dar es Salaam or Arusha or any of the big cities, I would take them to the best hotel in the city. And we would sit in, like, with the businessmen, especially back then, you'd very seldom see Tanzanians in the hotel. It would be foreigners, tourists, people with money. And so the five of them and myself and Lori or whoever was with us, we would go into the hotel and have a Coke or have a sandwich or have whatever. And so I remember the one time we had gotten some funds. They had sold some of their cassettes, their music cassette tapes, so you can tell what year we're in here. And so I took them to the hotel and I said, okay, this is the share from the sales of whatever. Do what you like. So four of the guys were like counting, very careful. Okay, that's about a month's worth of food, that one meal. But Wasforn, he didn't care. He orders cucumber sandwiches. Have you ever seen the British cucumber sandwich? It's about that big, cut in triangles. Bread, a little bit of cream cheese or something, and a couple of cucumbers. Beautiful little sandwich. But it costs more than like a month's wages type of thing. And the other guys are giving him a hard time, and what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, he didn't speak a lot of English back then either at the time, but he was like, enjoy life. And he just enjoyed that sandwich. And that stuck with us our whole life. Every time we'd go to a hotel afterwards, every time we travel as a band, didn't matter which country, we brought them to Canada. They're sitting at the Olive Garden or whatever it was back then, the Cheesecake Factory, that place where the slices of cake are like, I'll have one of those. Enjoy life. And then they bring out a platter of chicken and chips, and it's like, then they really like KFC because they brought a bucket, a chupa nzima kabisa of chicken. It's like, it's stuck. Enjoy life. I'm tired of not enjoying life. People, the Lord, our lives, God wants us to enjoy ourselves in Him. When we are most satisfied in Him, He is most glorified. And we've prayed it already, and I just encourage it today, that as you go out of here, you'll work on the things that matter in your life. The worship of God. You were created for it. We were created for His glory. And the more we can do that, the more we can focus our life on Him, the more joy, the more purpose, the more value in our life. Not because God needs it, because we need it. Because He's created us to serve Him and to love Him. Live that out. Amen? We got to lift up our eyes. You know, the devil's come to steal and kill and destroy and just suck life out of us. So when we start talking about joy and joy in difficult circumstances and how to encourage each other for the next couple of sessions, let me just start there. This church was called Enjoy Life Church because God is a creator. He creates out of nothing. And how many times have you seen that? So I'm going to invite the band to come. PJ's going to come. He's going to bring all this to powerful endings and meanings. What is God speaking to you about? What area of your life? When it comes to... You don't want to be 66, 65, whatever, 85, and say, what are the things I would have done differently? It's like, what is God speaking to you about doing differently in your life, in your walk with Him? To me, speaking to me. What are the things that matter? The things that I've stepped out in faith in my life. And it's like, am I going to quit living like that? Am I going to shrink my life back down to this financial situation? Or am I going to live and enjoy life? Am I going to eat those cucumber sandwiches? God knows the future. I'm telling you, I'm so glad for every cucumber sandwich I've eaten in my life. Every time I stepped out in faith and did something for God or gave or moved or challenged myself in the things of God. So that's my encouragement this morning. Enjoy life. Amen. Amen.